designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done.
He is divine, he is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure, he is mine.
I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me.
God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise the perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of
choking, man. You got it, man? Sorry. We got to rearrange parts here. Well, God's been good to us, like he has all of us. Amen. He's just blessed. And I'm honored to be here. I tell you, it's hard to get everything in one day, but we're just honored, Brother Terry. We're really honored to be here. We started in 1995 in evangelism. I guess basically went full time in 99. I went through an accident. Van fell on my head. I don't have time for the whole testimony tonight, but the Lord used that. I actually had brain surgery, and it didn't help me much. My wife was hoping for more improvements, but I've got 19 screws in my head, and they're all tight. I don't have any loose screws. But the Lord used that to just propel us into the ministry full time and everything. And so a lot of the kids were just, that's all they've ever known is travel on the road. But this time of year we're home quite a bit, and it's good for our family. We get involved in our church. I love my church, and kids, you know, have their friends and things. But God's blessed us so much. I mean, we've had a good time hunting together. I mean, I wouldn't trade that for anything, being able to do those kind of things together. Sometimes folks get complaining. I just can't understand why an American would want to complain. I mean, we We've been blessed so much, so much. Just listen to this song as they sing, God's so good.
God's so good.
God's so good to give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are.
We are to
thank Him, love and praise Him.
A little more today.
A little more today.
One more tomorrow. For 40 long years, God's children wandered in the wilderness. On their way to Canaan, that blessed promised land. They never got too hungry, nor they never got too thirsty. For the more that God kept blessing them, the more they would complain.
God's so good.
God's so good. Give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are.
We are to thank
Him, love and praise Him.
A little more today.
A little more today.
Hold on more tomorrow.
In the times that we live, so many are thankful. Many more they fail to see that God has given all. Never having time for God, they're always busy working. To pay for cars, new home TVs, and carpet wall to wall. God's so good.
God's so good to give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are.
We are to
thank Him, love and praise Him.
A little more today.
A little more today.
Hold on more tomorrow. A little more today. A whole lot more tomorrow.
Brief testimony about my salvation. I grew up in church, like many of you kids here, from the time I was all the way to now. All I've ever known is being an independent Baptist, and I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful. But there is a tendency sometimes to, when you grow up in church, to get prideful about everything. I had a lot of good tags when I was a teenager. I had trophies, you know, in the Christian school from Christian testimony. But you know, I had everything with the main thing. You know, how could Tim Crumpton be lost? You know, I had been in the intensity service. I'd gone forward, made testimonies. I never would admit that I deserved hell. I just wouldn't admit it. I remember one time I was working at the camp and I just left a service under conviction. I went out and read all of 1 John, just try to get, you know, assurance. I know I've, you know, been through the motion. I mean, I believe the Bible was true, right? I believed Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believed all that. But lost. How could I be lost? I never cussed before. I never smoked. I've never done any of that. It was all my parents' doings. But you know, pride, the Bible says, will compass you like a chain. And it's an addiction. You know, how to be humble and proud of it. I was professional. When I was in college, 19 years old, I had this prayer meeting. We were in a revival meeting, and this prayer meeting I had called together with the college students that I had arranged. I couldn't fight it anymore. I was lost. I didn't care what people thought. It's time to get it settled. It wasn't my parents' fault. It wasn't my pastor's fault. It wasn't my youth director's fault. It wasn't the camp's fault. It was my fault. I was lost. But I tell you, since I was 19 years old, that day in October, I've had a peace in my heart that passes all understanding. I tell you, young people, don't fight it. It doesn't matter what people think. You better just get it settled. It is settled. You know, one day the Lord's coming back, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. We have a job to do till then. But, you know, after the Lord comes, time's going to happen so fast there. You know, He stated the revelation. There's going to come a time where the lost will stand before God, The books will be opened. I believe we will observe, we that are saved, I believe we will observe the great white throne judgment. And the Bible says, you know, that He'll wipe away all tears. You know, some people say there'll be no tears in heaven. There are going to be a few more because He's going to wipe them away. And I think maybe the tears will come because we'll see those be cast into the lake of fire. But you know what I think will help dry those tears? Will be when we see the devil get put where he belongs. A song called The Judgment.
Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open and countless souls begin to mourn. From the throne a voice like thunder, "Depart, I know ye not, for the names written in this book are the souls thy blood has bought." Has turned as into the courtroom comes the very seat of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him with the fury of all the ages. That demon voice begins to cry, "It's not fair, I almost had you on Golgotha, I watched you. Then Satan begins to tremble as his fate to him was known. From the throne came the verdict, "The lake of fire will be your home."
Souls than just to think about all those voices raised in praise together. sing it to the Lord someday. That'll be reality, friend. That's not a pipe dream. That's going to happen. Glory to God, that was good. Amen. You got to have all your teeth to sing like that. Amen. Brother Mike, that's good, Doc. Amen.
Has been paid in full. One day we will stand before the Lord redeemed. Ready? Okay. When I think of all my faults and my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. Yeah.
at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him.
The bitter mark of sin will never fade away,
but I can come before Him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees a nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed by the blood of
Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 10. When we went into evangelism, our main theme at that time was children's evangelism, and it still has continued to that. Our family has grown into the singing, but the main thing that we started with is doing children's meetings. And I just want to share my burden with tonight about that. And I enjoyed visiting with Brother Don. Let's see, over here, Brother Don. And we have camaraderie, even though we've never met. I just know that somebody that preaches to kids all the time, and I know what that's all about, and it's exciting to me. Exciting to me. But anyway, let me just read you something I came across. A Sunday school teacher, I guess it was about second grade or so, a Sunday school teacher asked her class to write notes to God. Okay, here's one. Dear God, we read that Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school they said you did it, so I bet he stole your idea. Number two. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother. I guess this was a Christmas request, Christmas list or something. Thank you for the baby brother. I think he got messed up because what I really wanted was a puppy. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other if they had their own rooms. That's what my mom did for me and my brother. Okay, one more. Dear God, I bet it's very hard to love everyone in the whole wide world. There are only four in our family, and I'm having a hard time loving every one of them. Mark chapter 10, and if you're able to, let's stand together and read our text scripture. I tell you, we have enjoyed this day, and appreciate Brother Terry Angel and listening to the Lord there and inviting us. And now your pastor is on a daily prayer list. Anytime I get to a place, there's a list that I have, and I'm not just saying this. I'm not saying that's perfect, okay? But Lord willing, we try every day to pray for a list of preachers. So you'll be on this, your church will be on this list now, and we just need to pray for each other. I really don't feel like we pray enough for each other. We need this. We need this. The days are getting short. Days are getting short. The Lord's coming soon, and it's urgent. The ministry is urgent. That's really the message tonight. Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 13. They brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. The title of the message tonight is The More Urgent Reason to Receive Children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we thank you that in this passage of Scripture, we can see your heart for children. And Lord, thank you that those of us that are saved have become your children. And Lord, tonight, we just want to have a stronger vision for reaching the next generation. And Lord, we give you glory for what's done now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. I tell you, I enjoy being with my children. We just spend all time together. I mean, you know, it's just it's exciting. And I know one day they're going to grow up. You know, it's kind of funny when we're home, if I don't have a meeting, I'm kind of between classes. You know, there's the, I don't want to say old people's class, but, you know, there's the mature class, the experienced class. And we have the over 50s class, you know, and then there's kind of the middle group there, and then there's a young adult class. Well, the middle group is really usually the teachers of the other Sunday school classes. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You know, that's the group that's doing the teaching. When we're home, we're just not, you know, my kids, once your kids get to be teenagers, you can't go to the young adult class anymore. It's just, you're not young. You know, but I'm not old. So I don't know. But that's the evangelist. But anyway, I'm trying to change my introduction here, but I love my children. And listen, we've got to focus on reaching our children. And not just our children, but other children. The generation. How much study could you do through the Old Testament on reaching the next generation? So much there. So much there on the family. Don't have time for all that tonight. But to understand, and we're going to get to the urgent reason to receive children more at the end of the message. But to even understand the heart of the Lord and the urgency here, number one, I've already through the introduction, here we go. Number one, you must become one of His children. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We are children of God. God Almighty, the same God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, He is my Father. He's my Father. I love this verse, Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? You know what? I like to give gifts to my children. It's that time of the year, right? It's gift time. I love it. I can't stand it. We're flying on December 25th, so we have to have Christmas early. I'm so glad. I can't stand to wait to give to my kids. I can't stand that. And I love to see them enjoy those things. But I try not to get them, they're spoiled rotten as can be. Rotten, just rotten. But we try not to get them too rotten. In fact, we've always traveled like kind of we did this meeting up till 3 years ago. We have a 38-foot motorhome we travel in now for most of the meetings. If we'd have brought that, we'd have froze. All the pipes have busted and it wouldn't have worked. But anyway, we were trying to save a little gas on that trip. But before that, when we travel like we're a van and just a little cargo trailer, we had to eat out more. And so this will be a blessing to some families here, okay, to save money on an eat out. Now, you know when you go to like a McDonald's or something, what do the kids always ask for? What do you ask for, kids? A happy meal. So we invented something called the sad meal. The sad meal. And what we would do then, we would get 5 burgers, okay, split 3 fries and drink ice water. That's the sad meal. Okay, that's the kids' sad meal.
One time a preacher was taking us out, and one of the kids looked up and said, "Dad, do we have to have sad meals?" And the preacher said, "What?" He said, "No, you can have a happy meal." So anyway, but they've grown now, so we're out of the happy meals. But we still try to stick to the dollar menu. But anyway, but we're sinners, you know what? And we know how to give to our children. But our Heavenly Father knows how to give to us. Not any comparison. He's my Father. We're heirs. We can spend a whole lot of time here, but aren't you glad you are a child of God? Aren't you glad you're in the family of God like we sang about? I tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not going to understand you're not even going to understand any of the rest of the message until you really understand being one of His children. Well, anyway, number two, we're moving on. To understand the urgent reason to receive children, knowing you've got to become one of His children. Number two, you need to behave like one of His children. Behave like one of His children. Matthew chapter 18. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18. Disciples were having an argument here, trying to figure out who was the greatest. This is how I know the disciples had to have been Baptists. It's just no doubt about it. You know? They were comparing themselves among themselves. Hey, man, let's just have an invitation now. We're guilty of this. We're guilty of this. They're saying, you know, okay, who's the greatest? Well, one of them's like, you know, hey, I'm the greatest. You know, I brought you to Jesus. So why? I'm greater than you. You know? Well, hey, listen, guys, I lean on Jesus' bosom. I'm the greatest. Hey, guys, I got you all beat. I walked on water. I am the greatest. I'm the greatest. Okay, let's just ask Jesus. You know, just like little kids, you know. Oh, I'll just ask. Okay, you go ahead. You ask Him. Yeah, I will. At the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest, the King of Heaven?" Don't you love the wisdom of the Lord? And Jesus called a little child unto Him. We got a little child in the front row we're going to use. It'll be involved. All you have to do is sit. Can you do that? Right here? Okay, come. Just sit right on the top step there. And Jesus, I love this, Brother Don. You know how I love this? Because Jesus used visuals when He preached. I'm a visual preacher. I love that. I've always done that with kids. And so Jesus actually put this child. Now, the disciples at this point have to, you know, sit up straight. And, you know, they have to, oh, I got a little child here. And so Jesus called a little child him and set him in the midst, a little boy here. And He set him there. And He said this, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, here's what's neat about this chapter. Jesus begins to try to help His disciples. This little boy sits there through this whole message. Now, you won't sit there the whole time, bud. You all right down there? Just be good. No. Be good. Brother Don will give you some candy or something. So He goes on, "Take heed, verse, that you despise not one of these little ones." If I can say this in a right kind of way, would it be okay that if I said that Lord was a little prejudiced toward little children? I think you'll see that in the message here. I think you'll see that. I think they're special to Him. I'm not saying prejudice in the wrong time. Well, I'm just, they were close to His heart. And here He says that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of My Father which is in heaven. Now, I've been trying to, for years, really see what that meant. It obviously says this, that angels are watching over little children. That's obvious. Now, why they're beholding the face of the Father which is heaven, maybe it's because, Lord, how do I protect them today? What are they going to do? You know, how can I don't quite understand all that. But I like the next verse, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." In context, maybe we're actually referring to the generation that's being lost. I don't know. That's a very, of course, famous verse. We know that verse. But the boy sat there through the message. And then in verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." This is the church discipline's verses. This boy sat there the whole time. But here's the thing. The disciples were the one having a problem, not the little boy. Who is the greatest? Well, you can go sit down. Appreciate it. The Lord taught me a few things before I went to evangelism. I was went to college for 4 years, but there was 4 years that I worked in a Christian school and was an assistant pastor in one place, school principal, you know, teacher, and the Lord just had me out in the wilderness for a period of time during the school year. I was in this one place for 1 year. I didn't know anything was going on, Brother Terry. Green as grass. Okay, and here's the school. And down, I'm not going to say where, but half the school was related to each other. Christian school. Y'all putting it together? It was a Sunday night. I'm green, man. I'm green. It was a Sunday night right over here. There was a man stood up. He was getting ready to dismiss. The pastor was going to dismiss. This guy just stood up. Said, "We need to have a meet." Now, where I come from, the pastor usually says, "We need to have a meeting." Not this guy over here. The pastor said, "All right. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. All the men." All right. Well, you know how that service ended. Phew, everybody's gone. Monday night, the whole section right through here, full. People I'd never seen, some men I'd never seen. I didn't know there was anything going on in the church. Nothing. I didn't see any problems with the preacher. I didn't see anything. Experienced man. Been there, I don't remember how long. They all began to say the problem they had. Everybody, I mean, they just went around. One deacon, I'll never forget it, said, "I've been holding out tithes for 2 years. One guy stood up and said, "Preacher, you use too many verses." That's what he said. Exactly what he said. Came around to me. I'm staff. You know, I'm working as a teacher. Green, I don't know. You know, I stood up crying. Just crying. I said, "I've heard about these things, but I didn't know it was like this." Sat down. And then this one man stood up. I'll never forget as long as I live. Preacher was down here, just kind of on the floor, you know, with a little pulpit there. He pointed his face. He said, "Buddy, whose church is this anyhow?" The preacher gave the right answer. He said, "This is the Lord's church." He said, "Buddy, this is our church, and don't you forget it." Now, where I'm come from, lightning bolts usually begin to strike at this point. And so from that, the Lord has given me a little phrase called the "Our Church Syndrome." Listen, you ought to be proud of your church. You ought to love your church. But you don't possess your church. It does not belong to you. This is the Lord's. This is not Brother Terry Angel's church. This is not Brother Don's church. This is the Lord's church. It does not belong to you. You don't possess. When you put all this money and you give toward this new building, it won't belong to you. Who are you giving to? You gave it to yourself? Huh. How are we going to help the next generation if we don't behave like one of his children? How are we supposed to have revival? How are we supposed to have a children's meeting if the adults are all arguing with each other? Amen. I just grew up sheltered, I guess. I just thought everybody was good. You know, my mom and dad, I appreciate them. I never heard them criticize staff, preacher. I never talk about any other family. Good example to me. I'll have to admit, I've been guilty of that. I never heard them say anything about somebody else in the church negative. Never. I thought everybody was good. I have now realized that we all get in the flesh sometimes. We do need revival. Little children get over stuff. I think what the Lord's trying to show us here is that I don't think anybody's ever come to you, Brother Terry, for counsel and said, "You know, when I was 4 years old, my brother and I had a fight, and we never got over it." Huh? I mean, listen, there's going to be some sibling, you know, scuffing and everything, but you know what? They're playing and having a great time. The next 2 minutes later, they're back. They're fine. But you get somebody in their 30s and 40s, it's not going to mess with you in a family of God. "I'll never speak to you again. I'll never darken the door of that church again as long as I live, preacher said to me. I've heard that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Little children get over stuff. Behave like one of his children. Now, number three. To understand the urgency, you need to beware when dealing with children. I want you to look back at our text in Mark chapter 10. This is so good here. As far as I know, it's the only time this phrase ever used like this with Jesus. Disciples, you know, they were bringing children to Jesus. They wanted their children to be blessed. Disciples rebuked those that brought them. When Jesus saw it, the Bible says he was what? Much, let's say, displeased. Only time you'll find that phrase. When I say that children are close to the heart of Jesus, I think you'll see here, he was much displeased with the way they were handling the situation. I'll tell you something. I don't want to displease Jesus. God help us. You know, you can talk little children, you can talk them into anything. Are y'all with me? It's a little soul you have there. God help us to be careful. Jesus said, forbid them not. Matthew 19, verse 14. He said, offend them not. Matthew 18, we read that. Despise them not. Jesus keeps saying this. Be careful how we deal with children. I tell you, I appreciate high school students that will help younger children in the church. I appreciate that. I'm not much of a teen speaker, but I'll give you this. Young people, teenagers, be a servant leader. Where's teenagers? Raise your hand. All the teens, raise your hand. Got a bunch of them out there? Put your hands down. There's two types of teens that are coming out of our churches, all right? There's the one crowd that when they go off to college or get married, go mission field, whatever, we miss them. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we miss them. There's some young people growing up out of our church. Man, we miss them so much when they're gone. Yeah, I'm talking about they were involved in the ministry and helping young people, and they're missed now. But then there's another crowd that are like, I'm glad they're gone. Huh? And we're never glad. We're hurt when people go off like that. Young people, don't be a trouble. Don't. What are the little kids doing around me? Get away, little kids. You know, just don't have that attitude, team. Be an example. The youth there, what's that? Let them inspire the youth to be that example of the believers. Anyway, be careful when dealing with children. Then the final point, it's kind of long, but bring to him children. Notice here, the Bible says, verse 16, he took them up in his arms. You know what? There was nothing questionable about what Jesus was doing here. When I think of the arms of Jesus, I think of strength. I think of protection. I think of compassion. I think of leaning on the everlasting arm. I think of sheltered in the arms of Jesus. The arms of Jesus reached out. Didn't say, hey, you kids, go clean up your noses and come on back here. Accepted them just like they were. Aren't you glad he accepted you just like you were? Took them up in his arms. The Bible says he put his hands upon them. You know, we have to be careful today. I'm just going to say this briefly. I call the Christian Law Association. I say, look, I'm dealing a lot with children, trying to help churches. What could I say in a nutshell? The first thing he said was avoid touching at all if possible. Isn't that sad that we have to be that way? It's sad. I'm careful with that. I try to keep my hands closed. You know how it is with kids. After you preach and they see the love there and they come up and they just hug on you. I'm talking there's kids that do not know what love is. They don't know. All they see is what's on the TV, the lust, the garbage. They don't understand love. But when they see a glimpse of it, which they're going to see here at the Lord's church, when they see a glimpse of it, they're going to come. They want to hug. They want some of that. God help us, sorry. People that would take advantage of it. God help us. But Jesus here was doing a significant blessing. You know how they put their hands on top of the heads in the Old Testament? They're going to give a blessing. They're going to dedicate them life. I think it's good to have baby dedication service. It doesn't save the baby, but it just, a parent just says, hey, I realize my child is on loan from heaven. My dad told me, when I got to be about 14 or so, he said, listen, Tim, when I was in the service, I was over in Okinawa. See, my dad wasn't there when I was born. For the first whole year, he didn't see me till he got back. And he said, I didn't know, you know, about all this, but I just said to the Lord, I'm thankful for you, and I just dedicate you best I knew how for the Lord to have you someday. You know, that's important to me. It didn't save me, but I think the Lord used it. I'm going to tell you what helped to save me. Are you with me, parents? The Bible says if you train your children right, you'll help them miss hell, so to speak. In Proverbs, you can study that. Amen? Sometimes we need a little other kind of dedication. Amen? The other kind of blessing. But Jesus was blessing them. Nothing questionable here. Top of the heads, blessing. The Bible says He blessed them. He prayed. He could have just pat them on the head. Hey, you, good to see you, kid. Go on your way. But He gave them an open blessing. He put His hands upon them and blessed them. Now, I want you to look at this part. I skipped over it earlier. But this is it. We're getting to the urgent reason close here. But Matthew chapter 18, verse 5. I want you to look at this. This is good. Be a dry sponge. Soak it up. Raise your hand if you're listening. Amen. All right, put your hands down. Thank you. You got to tell kids to put your hands down, right, Brother Donald? Because they'll leave it the whole service. I'll just keep your hand. Okay. Matthew chapter 18, verse 5. This is so good. Remember I said the children are close to the heart of Jesus. Look at this. And whoso, Matthew 18, 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Amen. But are we in the right ministry? I'm excited about this verse. I tell you, the blessing. See these young boys giving their life to the Lord. I appreciate a church that's balanced in the Great Commission. It's not just going out trying to win, stack some numbers up. I don't see that here. I see discipleship too. Thank God for that. Good to see those young men. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to give you that building. You just keep making this a priority, it'll be there. It'll be there. You receive one such little child in the Lord's name, you receive me. You want the presence, you want the favor, the blessing of God, you reach out to little children. See it? It's in the Bible. It's good. It's an urgent reason. One reason their whole life is ahead of them. It's fertile ground. It's fresh soil. It's not marred up. I love to see light bulbs come on. Don't you love to see that? It's just like, I don't know, I think like kids. You know the cartoon where the cartoon character will get an idea and a light bulb comes on top of their head. Ding! I love to see that. You can just see it across the room. Ding, 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 ding. It's like, somebody's been lying to me. You see it in the kid's face. When you show them the truth, they're like, man, I didn't know that. You see it happen. I'll tell you, that's exciting. Isn't it Sunday school teacher? Isn't it parents when you see the light bulb come on sometimes? Amen. But there's still a greater need. Children are fragile. Dealing with the soul. Now, I'm glad their bodies can take a lot. It's an amazing thing. We have a trampoline at our house. And everybody warned me, don't get a trampoline. You'll end up in the hospital, So I said, I'm going to get one of those nets. Put around that. Save me some trips to the hospital. So put that net around there. And the little card comes with it. You're supposed to hang it on the side of the trampoline. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody ever puts those up. It says only one person jumping at a time. I'm like, what kind of fun is that? One guy's like, da, da. I say, listen, guys, I know this says this, okay, but you can jump together. Just, be careful. Yeah, that's not a good enough rule for kids. All five of them are, and so they, You know, when two are bouncing at the same time on a trampoline, when they hit just right, it doubles itself. It propels. And so, I don't know, what do y'all call that thing? Launch. They call it launch. We want to go launch. So they got the launch, and it went over a few years. Now, Andrew, my son Andrew, the big one, he got better at the game. And so him and Matthew are on there together, and they hit that thing, and Andrew and Matthew just sails. He goes up. He goes over the net. He fell and broke his arm. Okay, now I hear this cry. I'm up working on a truck or something. I hear this cry. Now, you moms know the levels of cries, okay? There's a little boo-boo cry, and you hear that, and you go, there's some brothers picking on me crying. They'll get over that in a minute. But then there's the emergency room cry. You know that one. And we've heard it frequently in the Crumpton family. Well, anyway, so I saw it from a distance. His arm looked like a snake hanging there. But he survived that. But you know, the souls of children are fragile. Just fragile. Children are hurting today. I got a friend in the church. He's retired from the military, FBI. If I told you his name, I'd have to kill you, so I'm not going to tell you that. But anyway, he gave me some serious statistics here. He's dealt with some serious stuff. I want you to listen to some of this. 100% of all child molesters have their roots in pornography. 82% of these crimes are committed by someone the victim knows very well. 95% of the time, it's mom's significant other. 85% of the victims of these crimes don't tell because their family are threatened by the predator. And the predator has a tendency to blame the victim and show signs of violent behavior. I tell you, when you're out, young people, teens, listen, you don't know who you're talking to there at the door. You don't know what's going on. We don't know when a child comes what they've been through. 34% of American children, that's about 24 million, live in homes without their fathers. 46% of married people have children living at home. But a close 43% of unmarried couples have children living at home. 33% of lesbians have children living at home. 20% of, I don't like the word gay, sodomite couples have children living at home. And that statistic's actually getting a little old. It's 3 years old. I was at a camp in Pennsylvania, and I had this little prayer request list, and I put on that line, I could use help with these problems in my life, and I wanted the kids to fill it out to see what they say. One child said, my real mom broke up with dad. My stepmom did the same thing. I can't imagine what kind of mess that is. Another one said, I could use a problem with these help in my life. Said, my mom and dad's marriage is shaking, and I sometimes think it's my fault. I read that. I didn't read any names or embarrass anybody, but I looked out over that crowd and I said, listen, I don't know who this is, but I can promise you this. The reason your mom and dad's marriage is shaking, it is not your fault. God help a sorry dad or a mom who would go and point at their child's face and say, did you tell mom what I was doing? Did you tell dad what I was doing? We're having problems and it's all your fault. But they do it. God help us. We're catching a little urgency tonight. There's a greater reason. Now listen, God promised. Just stay with me now. Everybody still with me? Okay. Who's sitting up the straightest? Who's sitting up the straightest? God promised that He would be a father to the fatherless. Now, how does He do that? He said, when our father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. How does He do that? Right here. It's His church. You are the ones that are the church mommies and daddies. Are you with me with this? You can't take them home. But you can show the love. Children can go to hell. If they understand that they're lost, they can go to hell. God help us. We could raise hands probably in this room. How many have been reached? Sometimes we get discouraged, Brother Terry, on bus ministry. I'll just be honest. Sometimes it's discouraging. Some say, hey, we're just not getting the best for our buck in the church. think it's the right attitude. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. If we say it's too expensive to do and cut it off, we are forbidding. This is it. You're the Father. You're the Father of the fatherless. Right here, through the Lord's help. This is His church. This is where it's done. Now I'm gonna make a big idea here and then come back and finish it up. Are you ready? Everybody here believes the Lord's coming soon, right? Now, I remember I was in college in 1988. Some boneheads wrote some things about Jesus' coming in 1988. You remember this? And I'm like, yeah, right, you know. I mean, had it nailed down, said 40 years a generation, had it all figured out because, you know, Israel became a nation in 1948, and that is significant. Now, don't get me wrong here. That is significant. But they said that according to the Bible, a generation, they said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Y'all with me on it? And so they said, 40 years a generation, so in 1988, Jesus is coming back. Wrote books. I mean, it was Ashes of the Red Heifer and everything was in there. I mean, it was all there, you know. Well, I'm sitting there in college. We're all looking at each other. Some people look nervous. It was amazing to watch this. Well, Jesus didn't come. Does that mean He's not coming? I mean, those guys had it down to the day. I mean, almost they had it. Just that's wrong. I'm not doing that tonight, okay? But if you do put some stock in that generation, this generation shall not pass, all these things be fulfilled. If you study the Bible, you'll find that a generation could be 70, which would be the year, let's see, help me out, my math is not, 2018, that Jesus would come back. All right? And it said it could be 70 generation, 70 or 40. Could be the year 2028. If you do that thing. I found another place in the Bible where a generation could be 100 years, which would put Jesus coming back in 2048. The longest I could find was in the days of Noah. We're not even talking about Jewish calendar here. I'm just throwing out dates like we, you know, it's not anything. I'm just saying that like the days of Noah, they had 120 years, which would put Jesus coming back in the year 2068. I would be exactly 100 years old. So if I'm wrong, I'll be dead, so it won't matter. If you think this is heresy, you fix it when I leave. You know how evangelists do. The fact is, Jesus could come now. Everything that needs to happen in God's Word has happened. I'm not a date setter. I'm just saying this. Brother Don, is there anything wrong with me when I preach to children? And I picture that generation may very well meet the Lord in the air. Anything wrong with that? You know what that does? It makes me urgent. When you're training your children for whatever's going to happen right before the tribulation, I'm going to tell you something. It will make you more urgent. Jesus is coming. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, now I don't know if I'll make it. I'd like to make it. But I just don't see how it could go past the children that we have in this room. I don't see how. I'm going to tell you something, young people, you kids. You may actually meet the Lord in the air in the clouds. Wouldn't that be exciting? When you hear that trumpet sound, whoop, whoop, dead in Christ rise first. I mean, it's all going to just happen. Jesus is coming. People are going to come out of the graves like zombies. Right? No, they're going to have a glorified body. They're coming out. We're going to meet the Lord. I mean, the dead in Christ, I might beat you up and if I die before you do. But kids, you'd be good. Just come on up with us. We'll meet the Lord in the air. This is going to happen. And so it's urgent because there's a generation of young people that don't know anything about this. Be urgent in your bus ministry, in your Sunday school. Be urgent in the nursery. Don't wait till they get to be teenagers before you start. I'll tell you something, the devil doesn't wait. Just as soon as they have any amount of understanding, the devil begins to teach them how to lie. That's right. Before I got married, I was talking to my mom. Just right before I got married, I said, "Mom, this world's so wicked. I just don't know if I can bring children into this world." We talked a little bit, and as you can tell, I got over that problem. It's urgent for us to have good families. It's urgent for us to reach out to young people and pray that maybe you can reach their whole family. I wish I could write a book. I don't know how to, but I see an issue in our church, Brother Don. I see this. They get to be 12, 13. They've been going through the junior church. I'm talking about bus kids, you know. And it seems like they begin to leave. I believe you got something going here, though. He's keeping these young people coming. When they get to that junior high age, when the world starts looking better, church starts looking boring. I remember when I was in the bus ministry of kids, and kids say, "What are you having this Sunday?" I didn't do that thing. I said, "Listen, we're going to have church this Sunday." Sometimes I didn't tell them what we were having. They just had to be there. And it was a bonus if we had something. If not, I didn't want to train the kids to come like that. Just as soon as another church had something, they'd be over there. I said, "Listen, you need to get in your church, stay there, be faithful." I was going to say, there's a young man. He's my age. His name's Mickey Ellis. I used to knock on his door about 11 o'clock. He'd be either asleep or watching wrestling. Motocross racer. It wasn't my appeal that brought him to church. He was working with the youth director, but he was on my bus. He began to grow. Soon he started visiting with me on the bus. We went to college together. He's my best man. He's been pastoring. He's got a good family. He married another young lady out of our church that family didn't come. Let me tell you something. Worth it. Jesus loves little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in sight. Jesus loves. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for reaching out to us with your loving arms just like we were. Well, thank you for making us children in your family. God, forgive us for not acting like your children. Forgive us for fighting with our brothers and sisters in our family. God, help us to get side by side and fight the devil. God, help us to be urgent about reaching the next generation in our home, around our home, through our church. I pray you'll strengthen this church. Lord, they're trying to build again. I know that you're for it because they're reaching that generation of children. I pray you strengthen them. And Lord, we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And ask Pastor Angel to come. Lead in the invitation as the Lord would lead. If the Lord spoke to your heart about anything, you come tonight.
It takes an awful lot of manpower to staff the children's ministries here at this church. Incredible amount of manpower. To those of you that are involved in it, I hope this just kind of charged your battery tonight. Boy, what a good message. And if you're not involved in it, then jump in. We have absolutely no idea how many of God's blessings are contingent upon our reaching the kids. So God bless the army of workers. God, increase your numbers. Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, bus personnel, nursery, youth workers. God bless you. Let's have a good altar call tonight. Is there somebody here as a pastor? I'm not saved like Brother Crumpton. I've been, like he did, I've been playing the game. Pray for me. Somebody like that tonight? I'm not saved. Not baptized in obedience to the Lord? Anybody like that? Let's use the altar for a little bit. It's open tonight. Ladies, play a song. Would you come? Rededicate your heart to the ministry of the children tonight. Neil, Sunday school teacher, bus worker, would you come if you're not involved and say, you know, this is something I need to do. You say, my class is so small. My responsibilities are so few. You don't measure anything by size. You measure it by sort. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Those who fill the gas tanks, to those who sit behind the steering wheels, to those who lead the songs, to those who teach the classes, to those who listen to the verses, to those who sit in the class and take the attendance, to those who take the kids out on Sunday afternoon. May God bless you. God bless you. God increase your number as we seek to reach the next generation. Wonderful. Wonderful. Would you come tonight while we're waiting?